I am in New York City for meetings today, and let's just say the city is or feels like the sports capital right now, with all five of the metro area's NBA and NHL teams in the postseason. You had the first playoff game ever at UBS Arena over the weekend, and if you listen to the crowd at MSG during Sunday's Knicks win, you know the city's sports scene is back and louder than ever. It's almost ear-splitting. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, April 24th. Good morning. I'm Abe Matcor. Hope everyone is doing well today to start their week. And talk about a Hollywood ending. How many of you have been watching Welcome to Wrexham? We've talked about it on the Buzzcast. I have watched most of season one, but I do want to start binging it again after Wrexham FC secured promotion to the fourth tier of English soccer over the weekend after clinching the National League title. Club owners and actors Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney were among a crowd of more than 10,000 at the racecourse in North Wales for the game. That facility, obviously a key part of the documentary. Reynolds and McElhenney paid $2.5 million for the team in 2021, and their story has made for a great documentary. The second season of the show will have a very positive ending, with Wrexham heading back into the English Football League for the first time in 15 years. The story has been so uplifting to the region and to the fans, and from all indications of the people close to the team, both Reynolds and McElhenney are the real deal. Kind and nice, genuine and unpretentious, and that's great to hear. So a really stunning Hollywood story happening in Wrexham, as Reynolds and McElhenney have given new life to the club and to the region, and you could begin to see more celebrities try their hand at team ownership. Let's move on. I'm a huge fan of Charles Barkley, as he is one of the few with a distinct voice and point of view. He seems genuine to himself, like him or not. Well, get ready to see more of him this fall in a non-sports setting, as Barkley and CBS's Gail King will co-host King Charles, a weekly primetime show on CNN that will cover social and cultural topics. King Charles will debut this fall and air on Wednesdays. The show will be non-political, even though it will run into a political season into 2024, and politics and current events will be topics, but lighter topics such as food and pop culture will also be part of the show. I think these two are a dynamic duo. I think this has real potential to be a very well-received weekly primetime show, King Charles, debuting this fall on Wednesdays on CNN. Let's move on to college sports. It's turning into one of the biggest personality stories and one of the top turnaround stories in college sports. It's Coach Prime and what he's doing at the University of Colorado. Just take a look at what went down this weekend and how Deion Sanders is elevating that program. The University of Colorado spring football game on Saturday had more than 47,000 fans in attendance on a cool day amid snow flurries. That's right, 47,000 for a spring game. That total attendance was more than the previous nine spring games combined. The game was sold out. It was broadcast by ESPN from Boulder. Some said it felt like a two-hour infomercial, and that's all part of Coach Prime's showmanship and efforts to recruit players by elevating the Colorado brand. Saturday's game reportedly had about 70 recruits watching. Now, the football team has sold out all of its season tickets for the first time since 1996. They had a renewal rate of 98%. More than 20,000 fans have submitted interest and put their names on a list interested to buy tickets. Fans can sign up to get on a waiting list for 2024 starting now. So Deion Sanders turning Colorado into one of the top stories in college football. Let's talk about the Oakland A's. We talked about them a lot on the Buzzcast last week. They are moving forward with their plan to move the team to Las Vegas. We know the team is buying land just off the strip, and a report emerged over the weekend that the team will seek roughly $500 million in public funding from lawmakers. They want to use that to help build a $1.5 billion, 35,000-seat ballpark with a retractable dome. Now, the funding would help develop the ballpark and a surrounding entertainment district. But I just don't know the appetite of Nevada lawmakers to continue to spend on sports. They have already funded the Golden Knights and the Raiders, so how much is left for the A's? One thing you shouldn't expect to see is any help or promotion from the Raiders. As team owner Mark Davis said, he still has bruised feelings towards the A's over the baseball team blocking Davis's efforts to renovate the Oakland Coliseum while the Raiders played there. The two organizations were never friendly when they coexisted at Oakland Coliseum. And the A's were the lead tenant, and the lease prevented the Raiders from making any improvements on the Coliseum. That led Mark Davis to search for a new home. He found one in Las Vegas, which has worked out tremendously well for him and the organization. So these are interesting comments, and certainly Mark Davis never endeared himself to many people with his actions, either in Oakland or leaving Oakland for Las Vegas. But overall, don't look for the Raiders to do any favors or any promotion, or any collaboration with the Oakland A's. Let's shift to golf, because LIV Golf may have found its most welcoming market as the tour had a very well-attended tournament over the weekend as more than 90,000 fans attended its three-day event in Australia. It was the most successful edition of a LIV Golf tournament in the league's two-year history. Sunday had a sellout crowd of 35,000 on the grounds. Some of golf's leaders in Sydney said they would welcome LIV to come back in other markets in Australia and have more than one event each year. LIV Golf CEO Greg Norman, who is of course an Aussie, said he thought the event would do well because Australia has largely been ignored for years by golf's big events. So LIV Golf feeling good about its stop and event in Australia. And finally, we will have more on the NFL draft later this week as it will begin Thursday night from Kansas City. You know, I don't anticipate it having the same high profile of last year's draft in Las Vegas, but this one will be more unique to Kansas City. It's still a top media draw and a lock for solid viewership. And Disney has sold out advertising for the first day of the NFL draft. And incredibly, it just has a few units of ad slots remaining for day two and day three. All of this will air on ESPN and ABC. The draft will feature nearly 100 advertisers across 50 categories. It will have 4 more advertisers and 15 more categories than last year. It's amazing the interest around the draft, and Disney confirmed that ad revenue for the draft is up more than 2% compared to last year's broadcast. So again, the draft is proven to be one of the events that does draw viewership in late April, and advertisers are clearly stepping up. And yes, we did have more pickleball on network television as the Professional Pickleball Association was seen on CBS Sports over the weekend. This is part of a deal that will see more than 30 hours of pickleball across CBS, CBS Sports Network, and Paramount Plus. Like I said, the rights deal began this past weekend with coverage on Saturday afternoon on CBS. So we will really begin to watch this audience, look at the numbers. Do the numbers grow? Do they kind of stabilize, or do they decrease? Is pickleball a valid programming vehicle, and do people want to watch? That's what we'll continue to keep our eye on. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, April 24th. I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast, and thanks for spreading the word on the Buzzcast. It was great to run into so many Buzzcast listeners all last week in Los Angeles. Remember, stay healthy, be good to each other. David Albright will bring you the Buzzcast tomorrow. I'll speak to you again on Wednesday.